If you remember this week, there was a trial where a lady had shot her husband, and he was a pastor, and she came and shot him in the back, and usually that would be death or a life sentence, but she got off because she told the wretched story that her husband was in pornography. He's a pastor. And real nice looking church, everything. And unfortunately, he was into pornography and requiring very, very perverted things with her. And you know, when a man gets into that stuff, or a woman for that matter, they will lose respect for each other. And what happens is that they begin to treat each other like objects instead of human beings. And so evidently he was also doing some bad things with the little girls that they had. And so, you know, you look at it and you say, Lord, you know, I know things like this are going on all over America, because you can do these things in your own home now. Used to, pastors wouldn't go to the movie houses because the congregation would see them. And then they wouldn't go to the Blockbusters because they'd see them there too. But you can just turn your internet on and do anything you want to, can't you? And people are doing that. But I'm going to tell you, some of the most powerful devils in this world are involved in these kind of things. And once the devil gets a hold of you, unless Jesus Christ sets you free, you will be tormented for the rest of your life, unless you find deliverance. But you know, the people are being tormented, and they're not even seeking deliverance. They don't think that they need deliverance because they say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Haven't you heard it, sister? I'm a Christian. Christians can have devils. Well, I can tell you, like the evangelist that taught me a little bit about deliverance. He said he believed, Richard Vineyard, he said, I believe that a Christian can have anything they want. Now, what did he mean by that? You see, Christianity is a walk with Jesus. Now, would you dare walk with Jesus and openly watch pornography, or go to the girly bars, or smoke dope, or do the things that people are doing so easily today? Some of them wake up. I know some from the past that go to some of the big churches here in Jacksonville. I've ministered to some of them. And they sit out on the lot and they get high on marijuana. And then they go into the church and they dance for Jesus. Well, you see, you can't go before a holy God in that kind of a state. And you might fool yourself and have self-deceptive spirits telling you that you can smoke pot and then 5 minutes later dance for Jesus, but it just is not true. Jesus is holy. And the Bible says that whoever worships him will worship him in holiness and truth. Amen. That's not a popular message today, but it's a message that must be taught. Because the American church has fallen into such tremendous darkness in this hour and time. And the Bible tells us that Jesus created the church as a militant church for the purpose of overcoming the wiles of the devil. That's why we're here. Otherwise, as soon as you get born again, he'd just take you out of the world. Do you think he wants us to suffer the way we do? No. But he has a job for us. Everyone in this meeting, there's a job for you. He called you And you may be the first one that he called out of your family line. And usually that first individual is the hardest one because of the fact that they have a big job. That's the one that takes all the jokes from the unbelievers in the family. That's the one that they say, oh, she's just crazy now. All she wants to do is talk about Jesus. And that's the one that suddenly the entire family begins to snub you because they don't want you around. You know why? Because of the conviction on their own life. And sometimes I've even known Christians that just stopped going around their relatives. And they said, well, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm just not going to go around because they don't believe the way I do and this and that. Well, who's going to tell them? If they can't see your life and if they can't see Jesus in your life, they're not going to be looking for him in other people's lives. I can tell you that. So it's important for us to, number one, decide, who are we going to serve? Will it be Jesus or will it be the devil? Now, you can't walk down the pathway, what we used to call a gray area. There is no gray area. There's white and dark. And you see, if you try to go the gray way, well, you know, I only do little sins. I'm not a bad person. But you see, those little sins can add up to big things. And sure, God doesn't look at us according to deep sins and little sins. He paid the price for all sin. But what he looks at is for a human being that will take his blood and cover themselves with his blood and will just love him for who he is and will create a lifestyle of fellowship with Jesus. Now, when the revival was going on in the 70s, that was what was happening. People were looking for Jesus, and they were looking for the living Christ, and they wanted to fellowship with him and to know him, and they were hungry for his word. But you see, people are not necessarily looking for those things right now because they think that they can just go it all by themselves, and after all, if they can do what they want to do, they think that that's a great life until the devil grabs them and captures them, and they can't get out of it. You see, that preacher would stand before his congregation with his smiley face every Sunday and give some sort of a message. I don't know what he said, but he gave some sort of a message that those people came to church and sat and listened to a schizophrenic speaking to them. A person that had no holiness in his life. A person that was actually separated from Jesus. Trying to minister to people that were supposed to be looking for Jesus, you see. So it's important for us to understand what our purpose is. And our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to put him first in our life. Our purpose is to seek him so that we can begin to know him as much as we can. You can never know God, but you can know the part of him that he will show you, the part of him that he will let you know. And if it's not the whole part of God, a little part of God is better than nothing, right? Wasn't there a famous man in the Old Testament that wanted to see God and God had to hide behind the rock because he said, no man seeth my face and lives, you see. Well, just seeing his backside pleased to the man of God. And so whatever part that he shows you and reveals to you, it's precious, isn't it? So deliverance is for the person that is seeking a resurrected life with Christ. It's a person that gives all everything that they can to him. You cannot hold on to the flesh and walk with God. You've got to lay down those things. And if you try to hold on to God and keep those things, some of the meanest Christians in the whole world, or so-called Christians, are those people that live double lives, you see, because the devil can mightily use them, and he can take control of them. And so if you ever hear a preacher say, well, we don't have to study about these things because devils have no part in Christians, well, all you got to do is look around in the churches and look on television at some of the ministers, and you know that's not true. You know that's not true. Look at some of the people sitting in the church pews, and you see the wheat and the tares sitting there. And I think today there's more tare in there than there is wheat, actually. But the truth is, God is going to have a people in this last hour that's going to be set free to serve him. People that will live for him. People that will enjoy being a Christian because of the supernatural freedom that they will find in Jesus Christ. Now, some people will find deliverance ministries. And what they will do is they think that they've found an emergency room. This is part of our problem here in this church. People come and they say, well, you know, we want deliverance, or I want deliverance, and you spend hours ministering to them. And then the next thing you know, what happens is when they think they're free, they take off and they go back. And they go back to the dull messages and the messages that don't keep their lifestyle straight. Do you know that the Word of God is very sharp and powerful? The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder, way down through the mind and the flesh and down into the bone. And so the Word of God is a mirror for us. And have you ever sat under a sermon and there were little foxes climbing on your vine and the preacher starts preaching? You're aware that those foxes are there. But all of a sudden that preacher is stepping all over you because you've allowed the foxes to stay there. And conviction comes. See, the churches that I grew up, they believed in conviction of the Holy Ghost. And conviction comes through the anointing and the preaching of the Word. And there's a story about Spurgeon that says when he would preach a message, people would hold on to their pews and their knuckles would turn white. They would be under such a powerful conviction of the Holy Ghost through that man's preaching. And see, we need conviction to fall on the people today so that they can make it on through, so that they can clean their lives up. Because when conviction comes through the Holy Spirit, all it means is he's showing you your need. He can't make you turn and give up those things. He can't make you serve Jesus, nor will he. Jesus is not going to beg you to serve him. But the conviction says to you, if I don't come, and if I don't give up right this minute, and if I don't quit, I'll fall away and burn in hell forever and ever. And so preparation for deliverance is number one and foremost conviction of the Holy Ghost and your submission to the conviction. And your submission tells you that you will give up your lifestyle, the things that are displeasing with Jesus, and you will, to the utmost of your ability, walk with him. Now, there are people that just immediately get cleansed. I've seen them, haven't you, sister? They just immediately come through, give all to Jesus, and walk and live happily ever after. And then there's others that the Lord has to work with. And He works with them, and He works with them, and He works with them. And those are the ones that you see come into a street ministry like this, and they'll be right off the street, and you look like they look like they came out of from under a bridge. We've seen people like that. And as the Lord begins to work with them, you can actually see Him cleansing them and cleaning them and turning them to the point that every week when you see them, they begin to look like a different person than you ever met in the first place. And so God understands where you are. But He also understands that He's a very powerful God and that He's able to do for you as much as you will let Him do, right? And there's just some people that just want a little bit of Jesus, just enough to say that I'm a Christian. But you see, He wants all of you. And if He can't have all of you, He won't have nothing. He'll give you every opportunity to turn it all around. He'll give you the strength. He'll draw you to people that will pray for you and minister to you and love you. But you have to do the rest. You have to make yourself available for Him to work in your spirit. Amen? Now, Jesus hasn't changed. The Bible said that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you know, He came out of the grave and He had the windings of the grave cloths all over His body still. And so Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And then as He walked out of the grave, He turned to His disciples and He said, "Unbind him. Let him go free." So deliverance ministry is a work that works between Jesus, the deliverance minister, or ministers that are working together, and the person that they're working with. And in order for that person to be free, the person must absolutely be 100% truthful. The ministers that are ministering to the person, they don't care what you've done. Some of us may have done worse things than you. I mean, we're not going to tell you, but we may have. And we don't look at people by, ooh, you know, she's an alcoholic, and ooh, yes, she's a prostitute, and this sort of thing. We don't look at people like that. We look at people as this is a soul that Jesus Christ died on the cross for, and that He sent this person to us for the purpose of ministering His grace to them so that they can make it on into the kingdom of God. And you see, when you ask Jesus Christ to save you of your sins, and you felt that initial uplifting, I felt it, come off of your shoulder, like the biggest rock in the world just was lifted off, and you were suddenly free, and you knew the reality of Christ, and you felt clean inside, and you felt joy and happiness and all of the great, wonderful things that happen when you meet your Messiah. You see, at that moment, you are as pure as you'll ever be. What does she mean by that? Well, you see, your purity is not because of your own goodness. It's because of His blood over your life, you see. And it's because that blood makes you clean. Now, if you go to many of the churches in America today, what would happen to you is you would feel clean, you would feel forgiveness, you would weep at the altar. But if you have devils that have grabbed a hold to you, possessed your life, and you have never been set free like Lazarus was. He was brought back from the dead. And see, deliverance is the part of the ministry that brings people back from the dead. Because before you met Jesus, you were dead, you see. And so as they went to Lazarus and they began to take those grave gauzes off of him, you see, he got freer and freer and freer. And until all of the gauze was taken off, he was not free. Amen? So deliverance is a very supernatural ministry in that, as I previously said, it works between you and Jesus and the minister. The minister is somewhat limited because the minister wants to work with you. And when the minister's asking you questions, those questions are not because the minister is nosy. And it's not because the minister wants to go and tell the next group of people what you did. What it is confession is good for the soul. And verbal confession, when you confess to that minister, now we're not talking about Catholicism here, okay? We're talking about a person probing your life to get you free. So let's say that you're in prostitution. And the minister says, well, tell me about yourself. And you say, well, I was born here, I did that, and I did this. And you tell her everything except that thing that has you bound because you're shamed. Well, see, the devil saw that. God saw it, but the devil saw it. So that is just like a root that he can take his chain and put around you and hold you to that longer and tighter for as long as you walk with it. So if the minister says, tell me about your life, and you tell the minister, and you say, plus, you know, I was a prostitute. Was a prostitute is quite different than I am a prostitute, you see. But the effects of that prostitution, it's like a scar on your life. It's an emotional scar. It can be a physical scar. It can be a mental scar. And you see, the Lord's job is to cleanse you spiritually, physically, emotionally. And so he's going to come in and he's going to heal your mind. He's going to heal your body and he's going to heal your spirit. I've had people to, in fact, I'll just use my own self. Some woman came up to me in a meeting and she said, you know, Pat, she said, I knew you when you were in the world. I'm just amazed when I see you. Said, you don't look like anything at all like you did when you were in the world. Well, you see, it's because the indelible stamp of the grace and glory of God is on my life. And he's cleansed me and cleanses me daily inside and out. Makes you younger. I mean, he can transform you to make you even look 10, 20 years younger than what you are. Thank God for that. But the truth is that you have to be honest with yourself. And you have to be honest with the ministers. And you have to be honest to yourself because that's your highway to freedom. And the ministers, they just really don't care. They're there to drive those devils. that have chains and fetters around you, have roots deep inside of you. Some of those roots you could have been born with. And the only way that they can take those roots is to chop them off and to begin to pull them out one by one sometimes. Because you see, hurt, having a wounded spirit, there are a lot of things that go on in your life that have sunk back into your memory bank. You don't even remember them anyway. But the day comes that God will deal with that. Because whenever that wounded spirit is still in you, it still has a place to work. I knew this woman one time, and we went to a political meeting, and some woman got up, and it was when the abortion issue was beginning, and this woman had had an abortion. And so the speaker was talking about the horrors of abortion. And suddenly that woman just started weeping, just weeping and weeping and weeping. And so I said, "What is wrong?" She said, "I had an abortion." She said, "But when it happened to me," she said, "I just looked at it like it was nothing. I didn't look at it as it was a baby or murder or the things that I just saw in there, that film." We see the conviction of the Holy Spirit came and got on that woman's heart because God wanted to set her free. What did he want to set her free from? She needed to be, first she needed repentance because she had murdered a human being, right? Secondly, she needed to be aware of what she had done to one of God's creations, that it wasn't just a piece of meat that she had destroyed. It was she had taken the life of a little child away from that child. And she needed to see the spiritual aspects of it. She needed to see that this thing opened her up so that a spirit of murder, coldness, hate, hardness, a spirit of Jezebel, all kinds of evil things came swarming into that woman's vessel when she made that choice. Because choices is what opens you up for demons to come and control you. So he's called us to come and set the captives free. That's Mark 16, 17, and 20. And the same principles apply that applied to Lazarus when he said, "You loose him." He's saying to us in his church today, "You loose him." You see, when you go to Bishop Canco's church and a seeker comes in, one of the first things they do is they take that person, the ministers do, and they go to Deuteronomy 28, and they break those curses over their lives that are shown in Deuteronomy 28, and I think Leviticus, it's either 14 or 17, I can't remember right now, but it's in Leviticus. The curses are shown there too. Look it up later. You break those curses over the individual, and you break them coming down their generational lines. You can break them as far back as 10 generations, because an illegitimate child born is cursed for 10 generations. And you break them for 10 generations back, 10 generations, and you ask the Lord to deliver this person from those curses. And then, after you read those curses over that individual, then you release the blessings of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. You see, Jesus, the Bible says that cursed is he that hangeth on the tree, for we, Christians, have been redeemed from the curse of the law. But you see, Christianity is speaking the Word of God. It's speaking the grace over your life. Did you get saved by keeping your mouth shut? No. You had to open your mouth and you had to speak, Lord, forgive me. Right? The same things come with these principles. You had to say, yes, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord, I want to be filled with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And you have to ask, and then the Bible says you shall receive. And so getting free a lot of times from your past, that's all you're doing, is you're speaking what is wrong from your past, and it gives God the opportunity to drive that devil away. Now, and I'm going to end here, but the reason you have to speak it, remember I said if you don't tell, the devil sees it. God sees it, but the devil sees it. See, what he does is he uses it as a hammer over you. He knows that you're embarrassed. He knows that you don't want anybody to know that. And so he says, she's hiding so I can keep my place. You see? So what you have to decide is what is important. Let the old man die, because that's what you're doing. The old man was the prostitute. The old man was the drug dealer. The old man was the lesbian. The old man was the alcoholic, and so on and so forth. The new man is Jesus Christ filling you up, and all of those empty places as you're getting cleansed, he takes that territory as his own. Can you understand it? So we are going to be teaching some on deliverance because it's so needed for you. If you think you don't need any deliverance, that's fine. But maybe somebody in your family needs it, right? So you need to have some teaching on it because most Americans have never been taught. Amen? I hope I helped you a little bit.